So let's read together from Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 45. This is the word of the Lord. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass them by. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, have no fear." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. Amen. And we thank God for his word. I don't know if you saw the gentleman leaving hospital, it must be about 2 weeks ago now, being discharged from Leicester Royal Infirmary. His name is Hilton Murray Phillipson, a bit of a mouthful. But he had spent, I think it was 5 days in intensive care, then a further week on the ordinary ward. And as he was being discharged, being pushed in a wheelchair, the staff of the hospital formed a guard of honour and they applauded him out. And it was a reminder just that not everyone who gets coronavirus dies, far from it. And this man had come through ICU and was being discharged back out into the community. He was interviewed actually on Good Friday on the Radio 4 Today programme by the BBC journalist Nick Robinson in an early morning interview. Obviously at that time the Prime Minister was in intensive care, so Nick Robinson was asking Mr. Murray Phillipson what it's like to be in intensive care. And this is what the man said, and I quote him word for word. He said, "One of the powerful images I had was the image of Jesus calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And that just came to me. And I like to think that it was Jesus Christ coming to me and helping me in my hour of need." Now the journalist Nick Robinson was a little bit taken aback by that response. He clearly didn't expect it. And then he said this, and again I quote him word for word. "Partly because of the drugs you have to be on," he said, "on a ventilator machine, which plays tricks with the mind, doesn't it really?" Now I don't know where Nick Robinson stands with the Lord. He is a very clever man. He's a degree from Oxford University. But clearly from that answer, he was showing very little understanding, if any, of the Christian faith. So I want today to turn to that chapter in Mark chapter 6. And I want to think about it with you today. And let me just remind you of the story. It's the evening of the feeding of the 5,000. And as the shadows are lengthening, Jesus sends his disciples across Lake Galilee to Bethsaida while he dismisses the crowd. A strong wind means the disciples are finding the journey heavy going. And at about 3 a.m, Jesus walks out to them on the water, meaning to pass them by, is the phrase that is used. The disciples think it's a ghost. They're terrified. But Jesus speaks to them, "Take heart, it is I, have no fear." And he gets into the boat, and with that the wind dies down. I want to draw 3 lessons for you and for me out of this portion of scripture tonight. First of all, the praying ministry of Christ. Verse 46. "And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray." What could be more human than a man at prayer? Immediately prior to this, Jesus had fed 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 loaves and with 2 fish. Clearly a divine action. Yet despite his divinity, here is now his humanity as he goes to pray, God the Son communing with God the Father. A few years ago, a friend gave me this book. It's called The Praying Christ. It's written by a man called James Thompson, And there are six chapters, and these are the headings: the Lord's teaching on prayer, the Lord's practice of prayer, one of the Lord's prayers, the Lord's prayer, a merciful and faithful high priest, wait on the Lord. And the book turns out that Jesus turned to the Father in prayer before all the great crises in his life. For example, at the time of his baptism, he turned to prayer. When he was choosing the 12 disciples, he turned to pray. At his transfiguration, he turned to pray. In Gethsemane, just before his crucifixion, he turned to pray. But James Thompson, the author of this book, makes the point that it wasn't just crisis points in his life that Jesus prayed. Often for us, that's the case, isn't it? It's our crisis moments when we pray the hardest and maybe the most. But prayer was Jesus Christ's daily practice. So much so that when the disciples witnessed him at prayer, they said to themselves, you know, we don't pray like this. And so they said, Lord, will you teach us to pray? And so here in Mark chapter 6, the disciples have been sent on their way across the lake. And Jesus, after a busy day teaching and feeding the crowds, Jesus spends some time in prayer. God the Son with God the Father, the divinity of Jesus and the humanity of Jesus, fully human and fully divine. And we see this wonderful praying ministry of the Saviour. Someone has put it like this: when Satan seeks to sift us or to swamp us, we have a Saviour praying for us. And how good it is to remember the praying ministry of Christ. The second thing we have here in this portion of Scripture is the strengthening ministry of Christ. And this is seen in verse 48 of Mark chapter 6. And they saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass them by. Now, what does that mean? He meant to pass them by. Sometimes in the news you hear about pirates in the Persian Gulf, usually Somali pirates. And the West is bringing oil tankers out of places like Saudi Arabia. And these pirates try to harass the oil tankers or even to hijack them if at all possible. To scare them off, the Royal Navy has deployed warships into the area. And often a warship will accompany an oil tanker. And just the presence of the warship is enough to scare off the pirates. And isn't that what Jesus Christ is doing here in Mark chapter 6? He's just coming alongside the disciples in the boat. He meant to pass them by. He has no intention of boarding the boat. He is just saying to them, I've got this storm covered. Trust me. Yes, the wind is against you. Yes, you're finding it heavy going, but leave it all to me. The disciples were at sea, but Jesus is saying to them, leave it all to me. And I wonder, you know, it's easy to believe in God and it's easy to follow the Lord when the bread is flowing as the feeding of the 5,000, when the sun is shining and all is well with the world. But what about when we're at sea? As, for example, in the current pandemic, what about then? Are we as good at following the Lord? What about if, like Mr. Murray Phillipson, you end up in an ICU ward? Hope you don't. But what if you do? When the wind is really against you, it's not so easy then to follow the Lord. And you know, in this current pandemic, there is a very real sense that this is a test for those of us who believe in God and who profess Christ, whether we actually do genuinely and sincerely believe and profess faith, or is it just words? Remember here in verse 45, it was Jesus himself who made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. He said, go before me to the other side, obviously meaning that he was going to follow them. But would they trust him? Would they wait for him? Would they rest in their hearts that Jesus was in command? I believe that's why it says he meant to pass them by. He was out to strengthen them in their spirits, like a sailor on board an oil tanker looking out the window and seeing a Royal Navy warship, he'd be strengthened. His confidence would grow, fear would be banished. So Christ, keeping his distance, was meant to strengthen their faith, to teach them about his divinity, that they could trust him whether he was in the boat or not. This is the strengthening ministry of Christ. The third thing here we find, as well as the praying and the strengthening ministry of Christ, is the uncovering ministry of Christ. Now, what do I mean by that? John Stott was the minister of All Souls Church in London. And at a staff meeting one day, there was a lot of conversation going on when suddenly one of the younger members of staff said this, "John, you're not listening." And John Stott says this, "I blushed," for he was quite right. And it is intolerably rude not to listen when someone else is speaking. In other words, John Stott had been uncovered by that comment, "John, you're not listening." And here the disciples are uncovered as Jesus means to pass them by. But verse 50 says, "They all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, 'Take heart, it is I, have no fear.' And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded." But weren't these men meant to be believers? But weren't these men meant to be Christ's disciples? Hadn't they already seen some remarkable miracles, like the feeding of the 5,000? So why were they terrified? Why were they fearful? Why were they amazed? They'd been uncovered, hadn't they? But what I love here is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For at this point, he doesn't have a go at them. We might have had a go at them. He doesn't berate them. He doesn't tear strips off them. Rather, he speaks words of grace. "Take heart. It is I. Have no fear." This is similar to the Old Testament when Moses was being called to be the leader of God's people and he was afraid. The voice was speaking to him from the burning bush and he said to God, well, what's your name? Whom shall I tell the people has called? And God said to him, "I am that I am. Tell them that the I am has sent you." This is Christ now leading his disciples. Moses led the children of Israel for 40 years through the desert. But here is Jesus Christ leading his children, leading his disciples. "Take heart, it is I. Have no fear." They've been uncovered, and yet here is Christ ministering to them. And the end of the section that I read says this, "For they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened." You see, the feeding of the 5,000 was meant to soften their hearts, but instead it had hardened their hearts. And this storm now uncovered the hardness. I wonder for me, because this applies to me just as much. Has the storm of coronavirus uncovered your hard heart? That you're just a fair weather believer, that when the sun shines and when the bread's flowing, when you have wealth, health and prosperity, all's well with the Lord, but when the wind is against you, you're chafing, you're doubting, you're fearful, you're maybe on the point of giving up. Friends, here is Jesus Christ saying tonight to those of us who are feeling weak, many of us are isolated and struggling where we're at, "Take heart, it is I, have no fear." Get your eyes upon Jesus. He meant to pass them by. This is a time to grow your faith, to look through the storm, to listen through the wind, to trust that he is sovereign and has all our bases covered. And what if you're not a believer today? What if you've got to this point in this little video and the coronavirus storm has uncovered you and you feel at sea like a ship without an anchor? The story is told of a weather-beaten sea captain converted to Christ after being at sea for many years. A few days after his conversion, he said to his church minister, "I'm going to sea tomorrow, but never with so light a heart. I have been sailing for 50 years, and this is the first time the great pilot Jesus Christ has been with me, holding the wheel of my heart. Could I ask you, who's holding the wheel of your heart today? Is it you? Because if so, you're headed for the rocks. Make it Christ, and you'll be headed for the shore. Verse 51 says, "And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were all astounded. And when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore." With Jesus with them, they were moored to the shore. With Christ with you, with Christ's hand upon your wheel, you will be moored to the shore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we say with the psalmist, how great are your works, and your thoughts are very deep. By comparison, Lord, our thoughts are shallow and our works are feeble. But we thank you for how you give faith, for how you grow faith, and we thank you for what we have been seeing tonight. May your word, Lord, continue to steer us safely through the troubles and trials of life, safely into the harbour, whatever the storms. And we thank you that Jesus Christ is the great pilot who has our course plotted. And these things we pray in and through his name and for his glory. Amen.